Hey guys, this is Matt Browning
and Adam Griggs,
and this is the Humans Doing Business podcast. This is episode number one with Matt Patty with the Chattanooga Beard Company. But before we dive into that conversation that we had, we're going to talk a little bit about what to expect here in the podcast and what to expect from us, and then a little bit about us.
Yeah, I'm Adam here again, and I am in the retail business, and I have been doing that for 22 years. I got out of college and decided, you know, that this is what I really like to do. Not everybody has a heart and a passion for retail, but I do. And in that time, I've learned a lot about dealing with people. And also, I've learned that there's a lot of things that I don't know about. So since I'm a person who loves stories, I thought the idea of a podcast where we hear stories from people and develop our own business ideas from hearing those stories, that it might be very impactful for me personally.
Yeah. And I'm Matt, and I'm a small business owner for almost 14 years now. I am in the screen printing, embroidery, and promotional products industry. And like Adam, I love small business. I love getting out there and networking with people, talking about their business, their industry, learning about their story, how they got started, where they are today, and all the things in between. I think that's one thing that is so cool about small businesses, no matter where your peers are in their journey, whether they just started, whether they've been in the business for 60 years, you can learn something from them. And those values aren't industry specific. They transcend different industries, service, product-based business, anything like that. And, and so that's why we wanted to start this podcast. So Matt Patty, Chattanooga Beard Company, that was a great conversation. What did you get out of it?
Yeah, Matt is really a high energy guy. And anytime I talk to a high energy guy, I just want to hear more and more about his story. He carries his passion into his community. And one of the big takeaways for me was his love for the people around him and the people in Chattanooga. He talked with such pride about his community. And he's got a specific story in here. I won't go into too much detail, but basically there was a kid who needed a wheelchair accessible van. And you wouldn't think that somebody who owns a barbershop in town would be able to do much about that. But if you take the right person that has a lot of passion and love, then they can do a lot of things. And Matt's one of those kind of guys.
Yeah, absolutely. It's those bearded guys. We got big hearts, don't we?
Bearded guys. Yeah.
what I really enjoyed about this conversation is, even though he started with his barbershop salon with his wife, kind of moved into more of a product-based business and started that on his own, but recognized that he needed help and he needed some expertise that was a little bit out of his wheelhouse. And he found a couple great partners to come in and complement his skill set and to take those areas and run with them. And they work really well together. Together, they are greater than the sum of the parts. And, that's something that I can certainly attest to, with my business. My business partner, Devin, is phenomenal at the things that he does, which are not the things that I do. And, likewise, I work in the sales and marketing side of things, and that's not really his strong suit. And so I certainly understand business partners that complement each other, and really enjoyed that aspect of the conversation. So,
all right, let's listen to Matt.
Sounds good. Cue that intro.
Welcome to Humans Doing Business, where hosts Matt Browning and Adam Griggs gather amazing stories from leaders in small business. Each episode, our guests will tell you what they're doing that works, what they've tried that failed. But best of all, you'll learn insights to take your business to the next level. Now here's Matt and Adam delivering you another great story.
We are with Matt with Chattanooga Beard Company. And I've been stalking your social media, Matt, and I'm very impressed at how well you market yourself. And you don't seem to be very shy in front of the camera, which I am a shy in front of the camera guy. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your community you're in.
My name is Matt Patty. I am in Chattanooga, Tennessee. We're at the bottom of Tennessee. I'm sure you may know where that's at. I am a barber. but I'm also the owner of Chattanooga Beard Company, and we make products for beards. That's a little bit about me right now. That's the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
Well, tell us a little bit about the business that you started, you know, all the way back to the barbershop.
So we started, my wife and I are both hairstylists. She's been cutting hair about 20 years. I've been cutting hair about 12. We started Chattanooga Beard Company, the barbershop, along with Chattanooga Hair Company, about 7 years ago. Those two are intertwined. It's a salon and a barbershop together. And from that, beards became really, really popular. And they were becoming popular. I've been a bearded man my whole life, or my whole adult man life. And so we started catering to beards, more to beards. I had a lot of guys come in and ask me for what product I used. And I wasn't thoroughly happy with anything that I used. Nothing really smelled good. I didn't really like it too much. I used it as needed and when it was necessary. So the more and more guys started to come in and ask about it, the more and more my will started to turn about making a product that I liked and that my clients would like. And at the time, my wife, it was dabbling in essential oils. So we took her knowledge and then about two more years of trial and error experience and developed a product that we now have as our balm and our oils for Chattanooga Beard Company.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
I drive through Chattanooga a few times a year myself, usually in a rush to reach a destination back and forth to Atlanta for conventions or whatever. But I'm guilty of never stopping in Chattanooga and getting a feel for the vibe of the town. So could you talk a little bit about what the culture is like in Chattanooga and kind of how you've shaped your business to match it?
Well, I was born and raised here. I left 1 year, for about 2 years. I went to Nashville for a while and I played around up there. And I came back. I missed Chattanooga. That was even in my 20s. Chattanooga is a very unique town. We're growing substantially because we are we have the fastest internet in the world, they say.
You know, I've heard that. That's not just coming from you. I've heard that up here 250 miles away too, that Chattanooga has the fastest internet in the world.
That would be a lot better at video games down there.
Yeah.
Right. And it's, well, it is the truth, but, and that's, so that's been attracting a lot of, entrepreneurs, especially in the, and you know, if you work with the internet, which is every business now, we have the fastest. And so that's been attracting a lot. So we've actually had a lot of new people come into Chattanooga in the last 10 years. And so they're bringing pieces of other different cities' culture, but ours as a whole is just really laid back. It's really easy. It's a beautiful, beautiful area. Within 15 minutes, you can be kayaking, canoeing, rock climbing, hang gliding, you know, within about a 30-minute drive around, you can see or do just about anything that you would want to do aside from be at the ocean. But it's a really cool vibe here. It's just really easy going. There's a lot of young, new, fresh faces here, but they seem to catch on quickly. One thing that I do notice, though, is that everyone that moves here, especially if you're from really far up north, that you guys are getting in a hurry sometimes and you like to honk your horn and you can really tell, you can really tell when someone's not from here, if someone's honking their horn.
Oh yeah. I'll remember that next time I pass through. Cause I've been known to be a horn honker at times. In fact, my horn went out in the truck I used to drive and my wife said, God took it from me.
I'm glad I didn't tell Matt that before we scheduled this yeah. conversation. If he would have known.
It may have been a different story.
Yeah.
So you'd mentioned, going into the consumer products, what made you want to pursue that? Obviously, you said you had some inquiries about what you used, but what encouraged you to actually take the jump and start, getting your hands dirty with making your own products?
I had always wanted to have my own business. I don't know why. It's just kind of in you. It's like it kind of hurts my feelings to think about filling out a job application. You know, it's just kind of like there. And as we started the barbershop and salon, I saw the ability to create some leverage. If I, you know, I could obviously reach more people if I had a piece of me going out instead of everyone trying to come in and be a part of the, you know, being at the beard company. So we were able to develop something and to push it out, for it to be, you know, a part of the community, a part of other people's lives. And so really that's what it was. It was like, I saw an opportunity to create leverage, but I also wanted to create something that solved a problem that, you know, you had a dryness in your beard, and now I have the solution for your dryness in your beard or your face or whatever it was. And so that problem solving and, you know, that mixture of problem solving and creating some leverage for myself, both financially and with my time, was really the main driver in this.
Yeah. So knowing what you know now with the experience you have, would you have done anything differently from when you started?
Oh, everything. yeah, so many things. Managing my time. You know, just because I was busy didn't mean I was productive. You know, coming at it from a different, maybe potentially a different marketing standpoint. But I wanted what we did to be organic. You know, just I kind of came at it with a big thought, like a big idea in my head, but my thought process was really small. Like I hadn't leveled up to a point where this, you know, mentally where this was even feasible for me to do. But yeah, it's so many things that I would go back and trade.
Yeah. Only if we had time machines for real.
Right. You know, it's like, it's just like so much time. I would go back and I would make myself a schedule from day one and say, you only work these hours, pack it in as much as you can. But instead I take my work home with me a lot. You know, it's just a constant, because we are e-commerce, we're constant on a phone, constant, all these other things, all these other distractions that we have, instead of leaving it at work, you know, turning my phone off and then going home and relaxing for the next day or getting ready, prepared for the next day. That's really one of the biggest things I would change.
Yeah. I mean, one of the most powerful quotes about time management and activity, you know, that I like is from John Wooden. He says, don't confuse activity with progress. And I know it's one of the most frustrating things as a business owner to feel like you worked your butt off all day long, went nonstop, and then you get home and you think about everything that you didn't accomplish. You know, it was put out this fire, put out that fire. And, you know, you, in the moment you feel like you're really active, you know, you're active leadership, active management. And then you step back from it and think, wow, I didn't necessarily move the needle forward. You know, I just maintained. And so, you know, not confusing activity with progress, you know, that's something that I always try to focus on. And, you know, time management is key. You know, Dave Ramsey has a lot of great things to say about, you know, managing your day. He's got the steak sauce philosophy of, you know, creating a to-do list and labeling them with A, B, and C and 1, 2, 3 and, you know, identifying that number one thing that got an A classification as your A1 steak sauce. And I mean, we could have podcast after podcast of time management, but yeah, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, being able to be productive is key.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
All right, so questions is just kind of for fun, and it's something I'll probably ask every time that I record one of these podcasts is, who's the most famous person you've ever done business with?
I've got a couple of guys getting famous right now. Uh-huh. I a guy named Larry Fleet, who's a country music singer, it's so close to making it. He's got a song on radio right now. I trim his beard, and he uses all of our products and things like that. Who's the most famous though? Man, we've seen some pretty cool people. A guy named Rhett Walker. He's a Christian music artist. He uses our stuff. I know I'm missing something that happened that was cool. I just can't remember it.
Yeah. No, that's great.
Has to be cool with that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun to see people that's kind of up and coming too, and, you know, having an opportunity to be a part of their story.
And you
admit that's it.
Yeah. And you had mentioned, you know, in our initial conversation, you know, when we were coordinating this, that you had brought on partners, you know, that you started the consumer goods branch of the business by yourself. And then since then you've brought on partners, you know, talk a little bit about that. You know, what made you bring on the partners? How did that work? Did you approach them or they approach you, and how's it all working out?
So it's working out amazing. First off, I am happy that I did it. I was drowning in my own stress and my own thoughts. I was basically a one-man show for a while. I had a good number. You know, I had some guys helping me that were great helps. But as this grew, I felt like that I personally had brought it as far as I could. My skills are cutting hair and a few other things. You know, there's a lot of things that I cannot do. And those things that I could not do were what I believed were holding the Chattanooga Beard Company back. I had a guy working for me that moved away. He moved to Nashville. And he began to work for someone else who invested in different businesses. And, you know, he had a couple. And one thing leads to another. And, you know, the guy that left, we left on great terms. One thing leads to another. We start conversations about, the guy he's working for come down helping out because he's got great knowledge in finances and things that I don't have knowledge in. So before it's all said and done, they actually bring a team down of three guys. One of them includes the guy that initially that I was talking about that was working for me. But we have a team now of me and three other guys. One does marketing. One is a chemist from he's a chemist, but he used to work with L'Oreal.
That's so legit.
We got a guy that does now all of our finances, and it was like that was the pieces that I needed, especially the finance department. You know, especially the marketing department, the things that are so important. That's just, and it just all worked together. And now that we've been in partnership since, I think it became official like in October of last year. But we have made so many moves that I would have never thought I would have made that I would not have made on my own. And, so many good things have come out of it. You know, I have nothing bad to say about the partnership. It has been just a blessing for the company and for you know, my family and for everybody involved. It's just really, it's just these guys are helping taking this whole Chattanooga Beard Company concept and product line, pushing it further, you know, to a wider audience and just trying to get ourselves out there. And they're the ones that are kind of been a catalyst and doing the work that I just couldn't do. You know, just it kind of like it was beyond my pay scale, but it was beyond my scope. You know, it was like everything was a Google search, you know, up until that point.
Right. It's like you have to have a gift of reflection and personal, you know, looking at yourself. So just being able to see where your shortcomings are and knowing where to fill those holes is, like you said, it's just a blessing to have that. Mm-hmm. Going back to marketing a little bit in detail, what practices of marketing seem to be most effective for Chattanooga Beer Company?
Man, of course, we're e-commerce, and you know the things that we do on there work for pretty good for us. You know, Facebook and stuff like that, they work well. But our biggest, one of our biggest things that we do is we do different markets and trade shows, and we have a product that smells, and it's hard to describe that, you know, on a website because everyone smells something different. But one of our biggest marketing tools is also somewhere that we go and set up at, and we sell our product because we're able to see people and shake hands. We're able to humanize our brand. And it's really what we're trying to do on Facebook too, is put faces and names behind stuff that we're not just ordering from somewhere, that we make this stuff, you know, but for marketing, man, getting out there and just talking to people, building relationships with people, but and being real, you know, it's like, if I can't do it, I can't do it. You know, don't overpromise and underdeliver. you know, that'll get you in trouble before anything. But in Chattanooga for us, just being out there and talking with people, you know, solidifying relationships that we had and making new ones, that's been our biggest marketing tool for us.
Yeah, I think as we go forward in business, I mean, year after year, I feel like the story, the human connection with brands is getting stronger. And I think more and more brands are picking up on that, you know, and starting to share stories. And you know, I personally, you know, I've got friends that own businesses. I've got friends that have skincare products. And you know, just knowing the story, knowing the reasons why they created the product, what their mission is, you know, it connects, you know, you're able to connect so much more and you're passionate about the product because you're passionate about the brand, because you're passionate about the story. And I think storytelling in business is it's been getting huge for years now, but I think it's going to continue in that trajectory. And, you know, certainly something that we're trying to do, you know, and, you know, kind of expanding on your business partners. One question I had, are they beard guys?
So one of them is. One of them we've got. He is now becoming bearded guy.
He's got training wheels.
He's got some good training wheels. And then one of them, he can't decide. I think he's sometimes he needs a little more professional than I do. You know, it's not hard to do, but sometimes he needs to look more professional, so he shaves. But I don't know. It's just weird to see him shaving.
Yeah. I got you. I got you. And you know, you were talking about how much of a blessing it was to have the partnerships that you have. You know, I'm in my business, Surge Screen Printing and Embroidery, we're co-owned. You know, I've got a business partner that I worked with for a few years prior to launching our company. And, you know, it's been a huge blessing. And, you know, a lot of people ask me, you know, what it's like to have a partner in business. Do you guys fight? Do you get along? You know, I know so many partnerships that have gone sour. You know, it's certainly not for everyone. But our strengths are polar opposites of each other. And I think, you know, kind of how you mentioned what your strengths were and what their strengths were and how everybody brought something different to the table. That's certainly the case with Devin and I. You know, and it's been a blessing. You know, and there are times that I feel like I'm not holding up my end of the bargain, you know, just because it's going so well. And, you know, always thankful for what he brings to the table. He's, you know, he's more of the design and production side of things. And I'm more of a sales and marketing guy. And that's kind of been how we've divided it up from day one. And you know, definitely couldn't do it without him. Couldn't imagine doing it without him, you know, going forward. And, you know, just thankful for that. So, you know, I hear you on that.
That's awesome. Yeah, I definitely feel like the weakest link in our team. I've said that in front of them, and you know, I say it often. And like, I happen to have smarter people around me than me. That's great.
That's, right. That's the trick.
Because there's a lot of stuff that I don't know.
It takes some pressure off.
It really. But then it puts more pressure on because now what I'm in charge of, I really got to knock it out of the park.
Yeah. Got to deliver.
It's motivating, you know,
gotta
for sure.
Deliver. Yeah.
Yeah. Back to your beard. It looks like an iconic beard. It's the kind of beard I've always wanted. I've tried to go long with my beard over the years. In 2015, I got it down to where it got caught in my zipper on my jacket, and I knew like I had a good beard. It cast its own shadow even. So I knew I had something going good, but eventually I just got to where it was the mustache, the hair going into the upper lip. I couldn't take it anymore. And on a whim one night, I just hacked it off and never grew it that long again. But it kind of brings me, I was perusing your products, and I never use a great product, I don't think. And that probably could have helped me a lot. But I wondered how you came up with the names, especially the one Don't Cuss Around My Mama. I wonder if there's a story behind those names.
Well, most of the names came from when, I like to listen to music whenever I cut grass. I like to listen to music anyway, but whenever I cut grass, like that's my time, you know, to do my thing. I'm just cutting grass, listening to music. And so I would have my earbuds in and some song would be on and I'd just get a piece of a lyric. And I would run in to my house and write it down real fast and I'd run back out, you know. And then at first my wife was like, what are you doing? I'm like, hang on. And so don't cuss around my mama specifically came from the Morgan Wallen song. Don't cuss her. I don't know if you've heard it. It's the way I talk. This is the way I talk.
Yeah.
By Morgan Wallen. So that one came from that. Like 1838 is one of our bestsellers. It's when Chattanooga was, they decided to make Chattanooga a name. Let's see. I'm looking around. We have a new one coming out called Lucky Penny. That's actually from the new Chris Stapleton song. I do like country music, and this is where these references are coming from. And then we've got one called Holy Cow, and I'm a Cubs fan.
And Harry Carey.
And I was raised on. I'm a Cubs fan because they just found me. I didn't go looking for them. But I was raised on the Cubs and Harry Carey. And whenever I smelled this particular one that I made, the first time I smelled it, I was like, "Holy cow!" And I said, "That's it. That's a Harry Carey one right there. That's it."
So, man.
Yeah. Most it's just random stuff, you know. It's like people laugh at the names a lot, but you know, we try to just, I don't know, we had a little humor, not to take ourselves too serious, maybe.
Yeah, it adds a lot of character. Like just going on your website, it really makes you stand out from, you know. People, I think, put a lot of effort into that, and maybe your competitors. I've seen some that were just really silly. I mean, like, I think I saw one time, it was like kerosene explosion or something. It's like, I don't want to smell like kerosene explosion.
That's exactly right. Yeah. You know, so often we're asked for stuff like that. Hey, can you make me gunpowder and mud? And it's like, really? Do you want to smell like gunpowder and mud? Like, ideally, we want our wives to. And girlfriends and people that we love, you know, to like the smell of it. We don't want to smell like gunpowder and mud.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and I think that helps with word of mouth marketing too. You know, if you had, some run of the mill smell, you know, some kind of product that, you know, that is similar to every bar of soap out there. That's not unique. It's not nearly as memorable. But you know, when you're the bar drinking a beer and talking about your beard and you know you're able to tell don't cuss at my mama or don't cuss around my mama, you know, it's much easier to remember, and it creates an opportunity for people to share what the name is, and certainly they're going to remember it, and the novelty aspect of it as well. So one question I had, you talking about cutting grass, you know, as a barber, as a hairstylist, you know, how meticulous is your grass?
Used to, when I had more time, it was a little bit more meticulous. There was a period of time that when we first really started everything, and I was just going, I didn't cut my grass for about, I don't know, almost 2 months, and it was absurd. I actually hired the guy down the street for me to do it, and I came home as he was finishing, and I was like, "Oh no, you can't do that." Yeah. But it used to be super meticulous. Now it's oh man, I probably should cut the grass.
with success, weeds grow.
Right.
All right. So tell me a little bit about you know, back in the days where you were. Man in the chair, often, has there been a weird interaction with a client that you've had? That's just kind of a funny story.
And there's so many, but HIPAA prevents me from like telling you guys anything.
Gotcha.
No, it's, you know, one story that sticks out of my mind, I guess it can't be, it's not really a weird story. It's just one that all this sticks out. I'm bald. I don't know if you guys have hair or not. But, you know, going bald is an emotional process for guys. You wouldn't think about it, but it is.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And then so I had a guy that was about to fly back to Germany, and he didn't want to look like he was going bald. He wanted to be bald, which is why I'm bald. I don't want to look like it. I want to be it. And so he came in and he told me he wanted his hair cut. He's going to go see his mom, and didn't want his mom to make fun of him for going bald. And so I cut his hair off, and he sat there and cried. I mean, that's, you know, it's like, it's like not, it's not really a weird story, I guess, but it's like, just kind of goes to show, yeah, how much, you know, those things matter.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. You were a part of something he probably still remembers too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So I sit there and I talked to him and then he said, all right, I'm good. Yeah. I said, good. I'm glad you're good.
Moments passed. Here's a big tip.
He's like, okay, here you go. Yeah. Thanks, man. Just hug it out.
All right, Matt, I wondered if there is a myth about either e-commerce or product development that people don't understand, that maybe you have a challenge with them, you know, being confused by that myth.
I tell you, the biggest thing that I think is being just marketed to people right now as a myth is the, hey, just passive income, drop shipping, e-commerce, super easy. All you got to do is this. And then you got it. Uh-huh. I think that's so not right. It takes a lot of work to get to get people to look at you, I guess, on a wider scale. And so I think a lot of kids are missing it because they think that all you got to do is this and that, and then think it's good. You're good. You know, everybody, because all they hear are success stories. They don't hear about the failures that it takes to get there. So I think that's one of the biggest myths that I think. I mean, I don't know if that's kind of where you're headed with that question, but that's just what I see. You know, is that with e-commerce, everyone can have a website, everyone can do this, everyone can do that. You know, it's a lot more work than you would think.
Yeah, that's exactly what kind of thing I was looking for. Like, for instance, I'm in the shoe business, and people will just assume I can get any shoe at any time for them. Within a couple of days. So they'll be like, you know, they might have some Jordan that their grandkid wants or something. And I was like, you don't understand, that thing's selling for $1,100 on eBay right now. I cannot get that for you.
Which is mm-hmm. why it's $1,100.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, what's something that your company has accomplished or been involved with that you're especially proud of, you know, any new product launches or any developments or community activities?
I'll tell you something that we've done. It was a couple of years ago. We initially started out selling outside of our barbershop at something called the Chattanooga Market. The Chattanooga Market is an outdoor indoor market that a lot of people have got their start from, and just in it's also a market just for artisans and crafters, and you know, it's just a really cool, nice market. So that's where we got started. Well, over time, we met a family with a special needs child, and we just developed a relationship, and we were going to come out with a new scent, and I said, hey, let's call it that. And so we called it the scent. I mean, we called the scent was the child's name. Mm-hmm. And so along with that came this kind of drive in people. It wasn't really from, I hate to admit it, it wasn't really from me as much, but it was as the people around me. They're like, man, we gotta do something. Like, what are we gonna do? And so I asked the mother, and she said, I said, hey, you know, how can we help you? Like, what's something that you need? And they needed a wheelchair accessible van. They had one, but his, he had multiple doctor's appointments, like to Nashville and back, 2.5 hours away, you know, all the time. So they had one, but it was old, it was beat up, but it was still what they, you know, all of them had. So we actually got together and did a beard competition in Chattanooga as a part of the product. You know, we had our product there, and we had something like 250 people show up, 67 competitors. And it was all to raise wow. money for this van wow. that we were trying to get them. And I think that night we raised like $6,700, something like that.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, like one night, I'll tell you this, the bearded community is a bunch of givers and just huggers. And, you know, I'm not much of a hugger, but there's a lot of people that are just, that will give their socks off. Mm-hmm. And so that night we were able to raise that money, give it to them. And within like a few weeks, they randomly, because they weren't ready to buy yet, you know, they were wanting, because I mean, those things are like $30,000-$40,000, upwards of 30, you know, they're easily that. Mm-hmm. but someone had turned in a used one somewhere, and they just happened to stumble upon it, and they took that money, put that down on the car, and basically, they had a little bit of a payment after that, but now they have a basically brand new van for her to take her son up back and forth with. That was a really cool moment for us to do that. It wasn't really spearheaded by me. It was just, I was a part of it. And it was really cool to see all that come together and how giving the community is for stuff like that.
Yeah. Chattanooga just sounds like an awesome town. The vibe down there just seems amazing and close knit. It's like a larger town that has a small town sort of feel to it.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Just another thing that's kind of fun. What do you think is the best celebrity beard of all time?
Oh man, of all time?
I wrote a few down that I thought of.
I'm gonna have to Google that real fast.
Yeah. I thought about just giving you a list of names and having you rate them. Okay, so on a scale of 1 to 5, 5 being a great beard, 1 being they need some work. Jeff Bridges, the dude.
Oh, I love Jeff Bridges. Oh man, you're kind of hard to say the dude and like put a. You gotta pay. That's a 5. He's got a great shape on his beard. It doesn't have to be long. Like this is it's the dude.
Yeah. Sean Connery.
Oh, see again. It's like you've got some great beards to rate. It's like he's got so many different shapes in his beard. Like he'll have like a little goatee and a little mustache, and then there's a full beard. He's Sean Connery, so he's got to be a 5.
Yeah, he's got the thing going where his mustache is a little bit dark and his beard was white. I don't know, maybe that's what the women really liked. I'm hoping I can develop that someday as I age. All right. The guys from ZZ Top, which are, in my opinion, a little too long for a beard, but to each of their own.
I like their beards. My beard is more of their style. My beard is too long and it's too ridiculous. but whenever we go to like beard competitions, my beard is like a little baby beard.
Are you serious?
I'm serious, man. You should look at, I stand beside them and I'm like, I kind of want to stand behind them. I'm like, you guys put your shoulder in front of me so you don't know where my beard stops. There was one guy the last one we went to was in the Smoky Mountains, and it was, one guy had one down past his belt buckle, and he's like 2 feet away from having the longest, like not the world record, because I think the world record is like 20 feet or something ridiculous, like a long time ago. But I think it's like 5.5 feet is what he was trying to go for off of his chin. Mm-hmm. Absurd. But ZZ Top, I like your beards. They're mine. I mean, you got all 5s.
Yeah.
They are
fully committed too. I mean, they've been rocking those since the 70s probably. So
yeah.
They've learned how to put on a jacket without injuring themselves.
Yeah. And fun fact, I mean, most people who listen to ZZ Top probably know this. I'm a music guy too. The drummer's name is Frank Beard, and he's the only one that doesn't have a beard. okay, I got 2 more here. Mr. T, which is more of a mutton chop sort of thing than it is a full beard.
Yeah. I like his. It takes a long time for that to really look good, and it takes so much. There's so much goes into the stuff around it to make that part look good. He's probably a 4, 3 or 4. I'll let him break the tie.
Yeah,
but he's still Mr. T though. So on the backside side nut, he gets a 5.
And then the last one, Zach Galifianakis, his Wolfpack beard.
he needs a beard trim. he's a 2 because he can grow one, but he needs a beard trim.
yeah, it's a waste of a nice thick beard.
Right.
All right, so now that you've been in business for a good stretch of time and you've kind of expanded on your business, gone into product development, consumer goods, e-commerce, kind of grown in a couple of different ways, what would you tell our listeners who are looking to start a business or looking to expand, add a new product line, just words of encouragement or, some failures that you've had or successes that you had, what would you say to those guys?
And I say the first thing that you got to do is put one foot in front of the other and take a step. It's like it becomes so overwhelming when you try to think about the whole picture. But if you take one step at a time, to me, that's what I've told several people that are now have like small businesses. One was a tattoo artist. Man, take a step. Just take a step. Worst case scenario, you're back to where you started from.
Yeah.
You know, that's just the basic. I mean, I tell that to everybody. Just take a step. Have a little bit of faith. Take a step.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, like, you got to find something that you like, though. Like, if you're just in business for money, and it's going to burn, you're going to chase it all day long and never get it. You know, you got to have something other than, you know, you got to like it. You got to like the people that you know, you got to want to be able to deal with people. You got to want those things. So you got to like what you do. If you don't, you're just going to be worn out.
Yeah.
You know, it's just going to tear you apart. It's going to tear other things apart too. I think those two things, and then like, be ready, you know, be ready to grow, be ready to be criticized. Don't get your feelings hurt. Take no's, you know, take the no's. If you're not getting enough no's, you're not asking enough people. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. you just take the steps, you know, and be real with yourself. You know, it's like you're not a rock star. You're not an X, Y, or Z. Even the rock stars need to be real with themselves. But, you know, it's like, be humble.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay to have success and be humble. You don't have to flaunt it around and you know, all this stuff. Like, have success to be able to help people that need it. The same place you were the first, you know, at first. That's what I think it's good things that we try to base what we do on.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people who are successful in business have that philosophy that you're talking about. I think that's the dividing line, is the humility and the willingness to help. I think that's what kind of attracted Matt to you, and your business. It looked like an authentic sort of business. And, first interaction with you, I think he really picked that up from you, that was your personality. So, I mean, it doesn't take long for that to rub off on people and for them to see that realness within you.
Yeah. And you had mentioned humility, and actually I heard something really interesting from Gary Vaynerchuk today. He said, when you have the humility to know that you mean nothing, but the ambition to mean everything, it gets real interesting. And, you know, that was something that I wrote down. You know, when you don't celebrate the highs like people often do, you know, it kind of helps you be a little bit numb. You know, when you fail and when people are dogging you and, you know, you're getting all those no's, you know, if you don't allow yourself to get too high when you're on fire, it, you know, it helps you mitigate the emotions that bottoming out of the roller coaster, you know? So, you know, I think your advice is spot on for our listeners. Thank you for that.
So true, man. Keeping that to me, finding the balance, and I'm still looking for it. But finding the balance is it. And you hit it too. I mean, you're exactly right.
Yeah. When you find that balance, let us know.
Yeah.
Yeah, please.
We'll sell it all together. We'll be partners.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, put that in a bottle.
Florida sunshine, right?
We're going to have you go cut some grass and come up with a name for it.
I got a couple in my back pocket.
Okay. Good deal.
Okay. Well, Matt, thank you so much for coming on and talking to us and sharing. Did you want to kind of give a shout out to any of your social media platforms?
Yeah. Where can people follow you at?
You can follow us on Facebook. It's Chattanooga Beard Company or Chattanooga Beard Co. Instagram or Chattanooga Beard Co. We don't really do Twitter right now.
Sure. It's hard to do with business, it seems.
We have a TikTok that's got like one video. It's like my son. We've totally let TikTok down. But yeah, you can get us on Facebook or Instagram, or you can always give me a call. You just look it up on our website, and our phone number's on there. You can call me anytime.
Excellent. And that web address?
It's chattanoogabeard.co.
Excellent. All righty. Well, Matt, thank you so much. Chattanooga Beard Company. We appreciate you being here.
Hey, I appreciate you guys. Nice. I liked it. I had a lot of fun. Appreciate you guys very much.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it. The very first episode of the Humans Doing Business podcast. A huge shout out to Matt, Patty for joining us today. Definitely go check out Matt and the team at the Chattanooga Beard Company on social media. We've posted links to in our show notes, so you can easily find those accounts. Also, thank you guys. You made it all the way to the end, and I appreciate you. If you found any value at all, I would love to let you guys know a few ways you can help us out. First, click subscribe. Whether you're an Apple or Spotify, there's definitely a way to follow the show, so I encourage you to do that. Second, share this with someone who you think might benefit from these conversations. As someone who's been in small business for close to 20 years now, I know that learning from and getting encouragement from other people waking up every morning and going to battle in the trenches of small business is the best way to grow. We're all in this together. And finally, there are a lot of expenses that go along with producing this podcast, and if you want to know how you can easily support the show, we've got a few links in the show notes where you can just simply buy us a coffee. It would mean so much to us. Also, if you'd like to connect with us or the small business community, we've also posted links to our social media pages. If you can follow us on Instagram or Twitter for updates, or you can even join our Facebook group for a more interactive connection. Again, thank you guys so much for being here and being part of our launch. This is all for you guys. Catch you next time on the Humans Doing Business podcast.